The Weekly Dish podcast is presented by Common Ground Minnesota. Food and farming conversations from Minnesota women in agriculture. Learn more at commongroundminnesota.com or follow them on Instagram at commongroundminn.
Hey, everybody, it's Steph March for Common Ground Minnesota. Listen, food brings out the passion in people, so let's talk about food together. Common Ground Minnesota is an online resource for you to do that, and it's run by volunteer women farmers from Minnesota of all walks. We're talking big farms, small farms, we're talking dairy, we're talking produce. These women in agriculture are growing and raising the food that we all eat. We love to have a chat with them about what it means to be sustainable and what does it mean when they're using pesticides and why are they doing it. All of this is available at Common Ground Minnesota website. It's commongroundminnesota.com. And then on that new website, you guys, there are videos, there's, you know, FAQs, there's topics, there's a great blog, all sorts of things, and recipes and farm dogs, too, by the way. So there you go. Commongroundminnesota.com is your great resource for everything food and families and farms. Don't forget, check them out on Instagram at Common Ground MINN.
Come on with the My Talk chicks and we will eat on. Eat on the Weekly Dish. It's delicious, 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 delicious. I can fry it up now. Now I'm on with Fry It Up Chicks and we fry it up on. Eat on the Weekly Dish. Yummy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Weekly Dish. We are in the second hour of Food and Fun on My Talk 107.1. I'm Stephanie March. I'm here with Molly Herman today.
Good morning.
Good morning. We've to kind of reset the tone. Molly, of course, was with Kitchen in the Market for a long, long time, and not just with it, but created it. And now has accepted a new position with Malcolm Yards Market to be the events and fun
community outreach.
Fun chairman of fun.
Yeah, chairman of fun. Chairman I like fun. That. I'll lobby
Can you
for
make that,
that on the
into
business
a business
cards.
Yeah, could you get that on a business card? I'm sure Patty's going to be fine with that.
I'm sure.
Sure she will. Guess what time it is? It's time for Top 2 in Hour 2.
Give him the 0-1-2. One, two, one, two.
And now, the Weekly Dish presents...
Top 2, Top 2.
The Top 2...
Pick your best 2.
In Hour 2.
All right, give me 2 with him.
All right, so this is the time of the show, you guys, where we talk about 2 things that we are both just super in love with this week, or mildly obsessed with, as I like to say. Why don't you go first with your first one?
I'm going to pull a Hanson, and I'm going to have 3.
Jesus, man. Might as well.
All because I didn't get to talk about it earlier.
You're sitting in the spot.
Right?
So, yeah.
Right?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so my first one, I've been sort of obsessed with this for a little while since, you know, last year with all of the outdoor visitations that we've been doing, right? Trying to meet up with people, parks and all that kind of stuff. And Russ Fay over at Cork Dork has a great selection of canned wine.
Yes.
And this one that I just love is called Farm Fizz.
It's Farm Fizz
from Old Westminster Winery, and it is like an unfiltered sparkling white wine.
Okay,
and it has a little funk to it, and I just love it. Like
is it like a pet nat?
It is. It doesn't say that on the can, though.
Oh.
But, when I went in and asked for some pet nat stuff...
Yeah, it says natural wine.
They steered me, but it doesn't say pet nat on the can.
Okay.
So, anyway, it is lovely. It's over at Cork Dork. I'm sure you can find it other places, but I like to support my local guy.
Okay.
And it is delicious, you know, and it's like two glasses in a can. It's like the perfect amount. It has just that right amount of funk that it's going to go with a lot of food. It's light. It has some bubbles. Delicious.
And where is Cork Dork?
Cork Dork is over at Cedar and Minnehaha Parkway.
Okay, so South Minneapolis, Cedar and Minnehaha Parkway, if people want to look for it. We'll put the Farm Fizz website up on the Facebook, because that's usually what people want to know. It's like, what was that name? So, and to be clear, I am still on my pet nat journey. Like, I am buying so much fizzy, you know, and when we say pet nat, if you haven't heard that show, petulant naturel is what pet nat is kind of short for. And it's basically it's a fermentation in the bottle. And so it creates a little bit of a fuzzy,
and a natural
bubbly
fermentation. They're not adding you know, additives to create the fermentation.
Right, right. Which is a whole discussion, but just basically you should know that it's like they bottle it, it gets bubbly in the bottle, but it's also kind of funky in the bottle. Yeah. And that's a good thing. If you love funk, like, you know, for me, it's like I like sour beers and I like, you know, stinky cheeses. This is all the same lane.
Yes. And if you have some problems with wine, like if it's giving you headaches or stuff like that, this PetNat is a better way to go.
This is true.
It doesn't have all the extra stuff in it that could bother people.
I really enjoy it. I've been buying it like crazy. Every time I see a bottle that I haven't, and it's not expensive. I'm sure there are, you know, ones that are expensive, but the ones I've been buying, the one that I loved called Onward, you know, and I think I've posted pictures of that on my Instagram, but Onward is this cute little can of PetNat that I've been grabbing, and it's perfect with food. That's the other thing, is like this kind of wine to me has such a great, you know,
it's a perfect food, but it's perfect for grilling too.
Yes.
And like, I mean, we had it yesterday when we had our little patio happy hour, and it was just, it's great. And everybody gets their own little can, right?
Yeah.
You're not sharing a bottle. You're not sharing. It's nice and safe.
It's
and
good.
Anyway,
it's good.
So Farm Fizz.
Okay. So Farm Fizz. So my first one in top two and hour two is going to be Pie and Mighty's pie, because I got to tell you guys a little secret. I won the pie lottery. I don't know if you know this, but every week they send out a newsletter, you know, that kind of says, hey, you know, here's what we've got for sale. But because they have only so, they're a small operation, they only have so many pies per week.
Right.
They can only handle that much production. They send out, you basically put an order in, and then you may get your order or you may not get to have that order. It's a lottery system. So it's like you sign up, you throw it in. It's almost like buying a house, if you will. Like you throw,
almost,
it's a
so
bidding
close.
War. Except you're all bidding the same thing, but it's seriously as stressful as, and you wait to find out if you've won the pie lottery. And I have to tell you, I won the pie lottery.
This seems like just the right amount of risk right now.
Super.
Right?
It's a good risk to take. The payoff.
Risk reward, yeah.
Banana cream pie. And I'm getting their chocolate pie today. So I won. I got a banana cream pie and I got a chocolate pie. And I have to tell you, because I understand that we have to share our good luck, and I'm hoping to put some karma out into the universe, I'm going to give away my banana cream pie to a friend for his birthday. So
that's very kind of you.
I think so. And I'm hoping
and
that the universe
thinks so
and gives me a house. No texts right yet. Okay. So just so we know, that's what we're looking at. So Pie and Mighty, here's my point, is enter the pie lottery. You never know. You know what I mean? Like every week, don't get frustrated. Keep doing it. And it can happen for you too. So there you go. That's my first one. What's your second one?
Second one is I discovered a new cheese yesterday.
And we love cheese finds here.
From Milton Creamery in Milton, Iowa. They're the ones that make Prairie Breeze.
Is, I buy that. I grab that all the time.
It is the one of the cheeses in our house that everyone loves.
It's a cheddar.
Yeah.
And it's
a nicely aged cheddar.
It is
gorgeous.
Yeah, it's not sharp. It's not hard, but it's really flavorful.
So they've taken their cheddar and they've added some flavorings to
it. Yeah, tell me
about
this.
And so it's not, it was a softer cheddar than the Prairie Breeze, because the Prairie Breeze is kind of crumbly, right? Like, has the protein crystals and all that kind of stuff in it.
Yeah.
It's a caramelized onion cheddar. And it is like the most delicious, elevated French onion dip or French onion soup.
Yeah.
Flavor. Oh, it was just so gorgeous.
So it is French onion soup. I mean, like, that's what you're getting from it.
Yeah, because the onions are really caramelized.
Yeah.
And that cheddar, you know, you have that creamy cheddar mouthfeel and flavor. And it was, oh, go get it.
Do you feel like, it's overly onion? You know what I mean? Like, if you don't like onion, should you not be getting that?
It is hard for me to say because onion is one of my favorite vegetables.
Got it.
So
you don't know.
It was not overly onion for me. I mean, it is a caramelized onion taste. So if, yeah.
Okay. Just, I'm, you know, like Giant Baby's like, you know, I don't like onions. And I'm like, well, yeah, but it's like, that's like saying you don't like cheese. Like there's so many different ways.
For him, but get
shapes
it for you.
Forms. Right. No,
especially since he's gone for spring break.
I know. Who cares?
And I got it at Lunds and Byerly's.
Okay.
And their cheese section. But I'm sure, you know, France 44, Grassroots Gourmet, any cheese shop that carries Milton Creamery would probably have it.
Okay. Cool. We'll put that on the Facebook as well. Okay. So my last one is going to be the new session of GK at Home.
Mm.
I actually happened to sit down and chat with Gavin Kaysen the other day after the Sanju-san. Elisa and I were like, we need one more drink before we go home. Like, it's like we were out. So we kind of decided to go over to Spoon and Sable just to see, you know, what that was like. I haven't been in that restaurant in over a year.
And you can go in the bar now.
And that's exactly what we did. We popped in. There was room at one table. You know, they had everybody spread out. And there was not a lot, you know, it was end of the night, so there was not a ton of people in there. And then and Gavin came out, and he happened to be there, and he sat down with us for a few minutes, and we all just sort of chatted. But he said how much, so GK at Home is the cooking classes that he's doing online. And it's, I talked a lot about those before the holidays, because I thought, what a great gift. Yep. Well, apparently y'all thought so, because there are, you guys, so many dishers I know signed up and did the deal and are loving it. And he told me that he's loving it. And I thought that was such a wonderful thing. He's having as much fun doing these cooking classes online with you, because it's live, it's interactive.
And you're also able to get the ingredients from the restaurant, which they're able to source things that you're not able to just source at your regular grocery store, right?
Yeah,
so that's a win-win.
Yeah, and it's huge, because they are, I think it's one of those things where it's like, if you get the box, you know exactly what he intends. And I think a lot of people who are worried about, you have two kinds of like cooks who I think take these classes. One is someone who is like, I want to follow exactly along so I know what you're thinking, so I can, you know, be in your lane. Yeah. And then there are people who are like, I just kind of want to see how you do this. And like, because there's people, he said, there are people like, well, what if I don't want to use avocado? And what if I want, what else should I substitute? And he's like, what do you substitute for avocado? You know, he's like, what do you have against avocado? You know?
And
it's kind of fun, you know, it's to be able to sort of maybe see and riff and kind of take into your own way. I'll tell you that their upcoming spring series, it looks pretty good. It looks kind of lovely. They're doing vanilla crepe cake. You get to learn how to make
the crepe cake.
The crepe cake. My God.
From Diane. Wow.
From Diane Moore.
And, you know, we were fortunate enough to have Gavin come into Kitchen of the Market and cook several times, do cooking classes. And he's always so personable and interactive with the guests.
Yes.
That I can see why he likes this interaction.
Yeah. And it is. He told
me that it's online, but there's the interaction piece.
And there's like 800 people. I mean, doing this.
That's
just
crazy.
To be clear. So it's like, maybe you're not going to get everybody in there. You know what I mean? But he's also got the halibut en papillot. So just like what we were talking about, he's got parchment, you know, paper fish that he's cooking and showing how to do that. He's got a spatchcock chicken. I can never say it right the first time. Spatchcock chicken with North African spices. And then he's going to do a crab cake with asparagus and hollandaise. They'll do the spring.
Very springy.
I know. And I think this is great, because you can either buy, you know, he'll give you the list of ingredients if you want to go buy your own stuff, if you don't want to, or if you're like from afar, like maybe you're not, you know, you don't have the time or you don't have the ability, or you want someone else to give this to somebody else. Like, he'll give you the list to go buy, and then you can do it on your own. But, or you can, and if you want to just watch and learn, you don't have to actually cook along.
And the great thing too about getting the ingredients for them is like, okay, so North African spices. Well, they're going to give you what you need for the recipe instead of you having to buy the full size of all of those spices
and then
not do anything with them. So that's kind of cool.
You know what I would really like, by the way, if someone would please allow me to buy like two ribs of celery
instead of it languishing in the
refrigerator. Oh my God. And then I'm like, oh no, I got to eat some celery and peanut butter because I can't let it go to waste. Because that makes me crazy. Did you have one more?
I do.
You have to bake it fast.
Okay, fast. Charmoula. There's a green charmoula.
You know what? Let's talk about charmoula.
We'll do it at the end.
Let's talk about it at the end because I do want to talk about it. So, all right, we're going to take a break, you guys. We'll be right back. And we're going to talk about some bartenders or some drinks, really, and what that means about you. We'll be right back.
Call Carrie Augst and Sue Durfee.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Weekly Dish. Thanks for joining us this gorgeous Saturday. If you're not outside, I guess wait and listen to us a little bit longer, and then get outside.
45 minutes. Yeah. You can do that.
I mean, you can, and maybe then plug in some earphones and listen to the Shop Girls.
Another cup of coffee.
It's still going to be nice out at 1.
It's going to be even better. It's going to be even better.
It is. And I also want to say, remember, if you do miss any of our, you know, amazing words and all the good things, that you can find us on podcast if you want to, you know, take the pause today. If today's the day you say, you know what, I can't listen to the ladies, I got to get outside, you can come back and listen to us later. We will wait. We'll be here. We just live online in anywhere you want to find podcasts, honestly. Okay, so the thing I have to tell you about going out, we had a lot of restaurant news in the first half of the show. And I have to tell you that the idea that someone served me a drink in a bar was revolutionary to me. You guys, I miss my bartending crew, obviously, very much. But I also miss people who can make drinks that I certainly cannot. Because I can cook like the wind, but I used to be a bartender. But the way that I have been now trained to drink sophisticatedly.
You don't have time to filter and clarify. And you know,
I can't fat wash my whiskey, even though I want to. I mean, I could, but let's just be honest.
Leave it to the pros.
I love the pros. And so I miss my pros, and that's maybe the one of the biggest things I'm ready to get back to is my my beautiful professional bartenders. But I want to know so you brought up an article of what they actually think about us.
Well, it was, you know, it's one of those BuzzFeed articles. It was kind of cute. And it was just like, you know, bartenders sharing their stereotypes that they assign to popular drink orders. So well, what did you think about it when you read it?
Well, the thing is, like, I think about people who say, I really want a signature drink. I just don't know. Like, what could you, like, people who are, like are looking to create a signature drink for themselves. And I think, they're like, I just need something that I can order all the time. I'm like, well, first of all, it's whatever tastes good to you.
Right.
You know, like, try not to think about it in terms of what does it mean about you. But this is clearly an article where they have asked bartenders and bartending professionals about what does it mean when you order this.
You should do a local version of this.
I should. Oh, I should.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll put their names on it because I think they might get worried about people getting mad.
They might not have to. I mean, I think it would just be interesting.
So here's what they're saying, you guys. If you're thinking about having a signature drink, and let's say you've decided that the vodka martini is your signature drink, what they're saying that it says about you, these are fancy drunks. That's what they say about you.
The margarita one rang true for people that I know that really love margaritas.
And what does that say?
Old ladies that want to party usually start with margaritas.
Oh, wait, what? That feels too close to home. That feels too close to home.
I mean, I'm not a margarita drinker, so I can say that out loud.
I am
I like them. It's just not something that I usually order out.
Oh, I have a very, and we've talked about this before, but I have a margarita window, and it's actually kicking off right now. Yeah, it's like the first day of spring, I have a margarita craving. I do. I want them. I want to drink
lime
them all
and
the
salt.
Time. It is a salt thing, for sure. Okay, well, if you're thinking about being like just holding fast to your IPA, my favorite thing that the bartenders say about you is that IPA drinkers are bearded dads who want to ask 15 questions and try 15 samples.
That is truth.
Hello.
Truth.
They also have dad bod. Just going to say that. Okay. What about a Long Island iced tea? I think this is amazing.
Oh my gosh. Do people still order those?
Well,
I guess they do.
I think usually someone who wants to get drunk for cheap and is going to complain that the drink is not strong enough. That's who orders them. Apparently that's what the bartenders say.
How can you make a Long Island iced tea any stronger? It is like a glass of booze.
You might as well just crack the bottle open and put it to your face. I love the fact this one says Long Island iced teas. Long Island iced teas rarely get tips and are almost always asked to make it strong. It's nearly an entire cup of liquor. How the F am I supposed to make it stronger? I mean, that is literally if you order that. But I remember ordering those.
Well, because when we were in college, that was the cheapest way to get buzzed, right?
Right.
Is this giant thing of booze that didn't taste like booze.
Yeah. It didn't taste like booze. I don't know how it didn't taste like booze. It's all booze. It's all white booze.
It's the magical
and like a gun of Coke.
Right.
Like, how does that mask the booze? I think we all convinced ourselves that, oh, I can't taste the booze.
Tastes just like my mom's iced tea.
Yeah, right. What about the ubiquitous Chardonnay?
Well, I'm guilty of this, although, because I love Chardonnay gets such a bad rap. I love a good Chardonnay. Yeah. Not like the buttery, you know, popcorn bomb in your mouth Chardonnay, but like there's some good ones out there.
Well, apparently it says about you that you're a mid-30s woman wanting to get a buzz while going and trashing on your suburban life.
There is so much wrong with that statement.
Well, A, you're
I'm not in my 30s.
You may have passed
I also 30s. Don't live in the suburbs.
No, but you may want to trash on some things.
I might.
Okay. Also, you're a high maintenance middle-aged divorcee with two kids in private school.
Also all false.
I know.
Mean, the high maintenance thing, I don't know. Keith would have to weigh in on that.
I love this one. This is for the industry folk, actually. A shot of Fernet.
Right? I saw that one. I thought you were like
they
that.
They said if you order a shot of Fernet, they think either A, you're from San Francisco, or B, you spent a year in Europe.
Right. You just have to show it. Or you're a chef.
Or you're a chef. I feel like, or a bartender off duty. Like, you know, or formerly employed. Oh my God. I love that. Okay, here's what they think about you when you're ordering fruity frozen drinks.
We're looking at you, Jason DeRusha.
Yeah.
He loves a fruity frozen drink.
He did actually at Sanju-san. He ordered, like, it came to the table, and I'm like, so you got the pink drink with the foamy thing on it? And I'm like, Elisa and I are over here with our whiskey drinks. We'll right?
He owns his fruity drink.
He does, and I love him for it. It's good. But this is what they think of you, that fruity or frozen drinks are typically new drinkers.
It makes sense.
I love that. Okay, here's one that hits a little home, too. It's a scotch and water, which I order like a scotch. I don't usually order water, you know, like I may say like an ice cube or like
sure.
just like a splash, but they think that I'm over 50 with heart issues, which is not far. I mean, my ticker's good, but basically, there's that. Okay, so what
Negroni,
about...
The Negroni has had a resurgence in the last few years, would yeah. you say?
Yes. What do they think?
They think that if you're ordering a Negroni, you are a hipster 20-something.
Oh, okay. I like
As
that.
As opposed to, you know, our friend Michael, definitely not a hipster 20-something.
No.
He loves Negronis. Like, that's always been his go-to drink.
I think
drink.
That's a wrong... I think that's too easy of an assessment, it's because Negronis are...
It's a classic.
Yeah. And also, they've gotten... there's a whole controversy of what is a Negroni now, because now they're like, it's a white right. Negroni. Well, can it be a Negroni if it doesn't have the Campari? Like, right. all that stuff. I love this one, too. The Old Fashioned. If you order an Old Fashioned, which is sort of that drink, right? And then mm-hmm. they say either someone who knows their booze really well or not at all, and they want to look sophisticated. So it's like, it's your basic imposter syndrome drink.
Yeah.
Old fashioned. I think that works. All right, we got time for one more. What are you going to pick?
Oh, gosh. Well, should we go with the...
Fast.
Bellini.
The Bellini. What is it?
You have a tab at the Olive Garden.
Oh, slam! I love that we're wrapping up with Miley. Okay, we'll be right back. This is The Weekly Dish.
Weekly Disher, spring has sprung, and that means the best tasting wild caught seafood is available from Sitka Salmon. You may have heard us talk about Sitka Salmon before on the show, and that's because we are huge fans. Sitka Salmon standards for quality are unrivaled in the industry, because you see, Sitka Salmon is a community supported fishery. The fish they process for you to eat are caught by a collective of small boat fishermen, fisherwomen, and families. Some of these families have been fishing for multiple generations, and knowing the boat your fish comes from is not typical of most fish you buy. When you buy a Sitka Salmon share, you're getting the freshest quality fish you can, and you can trace the fish back to its source. With your share, you're part of the Sitka family, and you get monthly fish shipments of salmon, lingcod, crab, tuna, halibut, and you get the freshest fish while it's in season. They even have recipes, but I've been steaming my cod in my Instant Pot. The fish is so delicious, you don't even need to do much to serve it other than cook it and eat it. So Weekly Dishers, here is how you get your $25 discount for the first month of a premium Sitka Salmon share. Type SitkaSalmonShares.com/weeklydish and you save $25. So save $25 on your box. Again, type Sitka, S-I-T-K-A, SalmonShares.com/weeklydish and you save $25. Well.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Weekly Dish. And just to let you know that if you do drink a Jack and Coke, if you order that at the bartender does think that you will be fighting someone in about an hour.
Seems fair.
Yeah, it seems fair. I feel like sometimes you guys, like in my whiskey ventures and in my whiskey journeys, you know, I love the great whiskeys and I love refined things. And I like those cocktails I had were beautifully constricted. And every once in a while, I just want to order like a Jim and Ginger or a Jack and Coke.
Sure. I love a whiskey ginger.
And I just sort of feel like, I don't know, I almost feel like I'm not supposed to anymore.
You know what? Whiskey ginger is what I wind up ordering at concert venues. You know, do you remember those?
No.
Do you remember those?
Uh-uh.
Someday. That's sort of my go-to drink. Keith is a gin and tonic guy at the concerts, yeah. and I'm a whiskey ginger.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That does make sense. I do love that, too. We did want to take a moment to talk a little bit about the people who we love in the Asian American community. And we know that there is a lot of violence and hatred aiming at them. It is an uptick. It is a nationally marked uptick that has been happening all year. But there seems to be, obviously, with what happened in Atlanta, mm-hmm. You know, this last week, it's horrible and just terrifying.
You know, there's so many things that you just don't have words for. But one thing that I have seen from our friends in the Asian restaurant community that really spoke to me is, you know, they've been posting, love us like you love our food.
Yeah.
Like you shouldn't have to, you can't have this both ways.
Right. Well, and this is the thing, is I know that when we talk to dishers, you know what I mean? I feel like dishers, we are all part of this community that experiences food and experiences culture through food. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we appreciate that because if you're listening to us, that means to me that you care enough to understand and you care enough right. to want to know more than just give me my fried rice and my wonton and then walk away, you know? Because it is a relationship with food and then the culture within that food.
And I feel like there has been, in talking with some of our Asian American friends, there has been racism and things that they've experienced their whole lives, but it hasn't really gotten attention like other forms of racism or other groups that are
affected.
And this sort of brought it home for them in a way that, like, you know, this has been years that they've put up with this, and now it's just sort of has a voice.
I will tell you that I think that there's something about, and I just have been watching the posts of our friends in the mm-hmm. restaurant community, you know, who are Asian American, and many of them making these posts sort of revealing the things that they have been silent about, revealing some of the things that they've had to go through
their given name. Can you imagine
yeah.
if you felt like you had to change your name for fear, out of fear of and safety?
Yes. Yeah. Well, just yeah, like changing. Yeah, becoming. And I understand the idea of becoming more Americanized, you know, as part of a lot of feelings. Like there's mm-hmm. feelings of fear, but there's also feelings of I want to be, you know, part of something new or everything, you know, or just
sure.
like wanting to create yourself. But hopefully you get to create yourself out of an identity that you're looking to, you know, celebrate, not because you're afraid of
right.
what. And that's really hard. But I mean, I'm talking about the interactions within the industry of people and guests and customers who come to the front line and say, you know, order something. Oh, is that coronavirus fried rice? And I mean, I was shocked at, I've been shocked.
Not okay.
And the people who trash on, you know, the Hmong cuisine that's being cooked locally and, you know, referencing, oh, is this full of, you know, is this sauteed dog in here and all this stuff that I, you know, I will tell you that I have to own up to the fact that I kind of have always, I thought, oh, it doesn't happen here because we have such a huge Hmong community and we do like the little Mekong night markets that is so well, you know, attended and appreciated mm-hmm. by so many people. And I am wrong. And I find myself in the same place where I was before Philando Castile, which it can't happen here. And I regret that feeling because it makes you lazy and it makes me not advocate the way that I would like to advocate because I would not be the same woman I am without my Asian American friends in the either anywhere, but I mean specifically in the food industry. Mm-hmm. I, you know, I'm a, and I don't want to just say like I love ramen, and so that makes me, you know, but to me, like if I couldn't have those people in my lives along with the celebration of the things that they do and they love, I don't know where I would be.
Well, it enriches our lives, and yeah. it, not just our Asian American friends, but you know, all cultures. They bring their own richness to our lives, and we should celebrate that.
Yeah, and I guess I would tell you that I would stand up in front of anybody who would attack, you know, my friends, you know, mm-hmm. be it, you know, Ann Kim or be it, you know, Eric Fung at United Noodle, who is a very vocal supporter and has received a lot of, you know, sort of backlash for the instant he is, you know, of United Noodles. He, you know, he gets backlash online because he does support so actively the Asian hate culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think like I need to stand even farther in front of that for them whenever I can. So I guess what I'm saying is I plan to support this week a number of Asian restaurants and, you know, kind of use that as that platform to sort of speak out against this. And I just thought I would recommend for you guys. Do you want to call out some of your favorites?
Yeah. I mean, we love to support Tammy over at Rainbow Chinese.
Mm-hmm. Tammy
we got
Wong.
Them a couple of weeks ago. Gorkha Palace. I mean, you know, Asian is a large community.
It
includes India and all of that.
And I will just
Senyai Senlek,
great little shop up in Northeast for Thai.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to shout out obviously Ann
Kim's restaurant.
You know what I mean? And I love the fact that it doesn't just because, you know, and Kim is making pizzas in any way, shape, form, it is an Asian woman-owned business. Mm-hmm. And that is a thing to support, I think.
Hi, Ola Repa.
Yep. Hi, Christina Nguyen. And, yep. You know, her Vietnamese background, her family, that is a wonderful place to support. United Noodles, again, I'll shut those guys out forever because I just think it is one of my most favorite places in the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. It is one of the places that I would literally cry if it went away. Mm-hmm. Oh, I would lose it. That just made me sad. I'm in the Hanson chair, you guys.
Does it come with tears?
I'm getting a little verklempt here. I'm a little emotional. But, you know, even the smaller places, you know, I mean, obviously Billy Sushi, that's not a small place, let's be clear. But like Billy Sushi, you know, Billy is a Mongolian national who is, you know, married to a Tibetan. And I think about his kids and I think about mm-hmm. his little sweet kids. And I worry about that. I worry about that sort of a thing.
Well, and we have, you know, Asian American restaurateurs that don't have Asian centric restaurants. Like I think George and the Dragon, you know, that's just a great neighborhood spot and they need our support too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, I think about our friend Dave, his wife, Megan, you know, she is Chinese and, mm-hmm. you know, they have kids together and he thinks about that all the time. And he thinks about how, you know, what does it mean when there's, you know, someone shouts at a Hmong family and does some racist things. And it's like his kids now live in fear of that happening to them. Mm-hmm. And so I hate that idea. Spinning Wild. I wanted to make sure to shout out Spinning Wild.
Yes.
The cutest cotton candy company, you guys, ever. I got to tell you about what they have going on, too, because I've been meaning to highlight this. Anyway, that they have a cotton candy vending machine outside of their new space over by Keg and Case Market. Any time of the day, you can walk up and get magical cotton candy.
That's awesome. It feels like forever ago. We had them at one of our Memorial Day
you
parties.
You did. You did. Giant baby basically hung out and, like, I swear to God, I was like, can you leave them alone and like let them talk to other people? He's like, it's so cool. What are they doing? It's so cool. And I just was,
it's mesmerizing. Once we're able to have parties again, definitely hire them. It brings fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Those beautiful like blood orange cotton candy,
so
hibiscus
good.
Lime, blueberry, flavors of cotton candy that you would never expect. And they were at the Twins Stadium last year mm-hmm. when there was the Twins Stadium. So. And you know, and there's other places, you know, like other little sushi spots and other little noodle bars and everything else that I think about, that I just think that, you know, it would be nice to support, you know, little Szechuan, you know, the hot pot place over in Dinky Town. There's this one over here or the tofu house, you know, those kind of things. Remember that sometimes the strip mall places just, you know, we talk about the big names all the time, but these are usually family run spots, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a thing that is where you show them your love.
Well, and I think, you know, if we can ask the dishers to do anything, maybe it's just make a pledge to order and support these restaurants this week.
Yeah.
And give them a kind word.
Yeah.
They need it.
And just say thanks and we're thinking of you and we wanted to support you.
Yeah.
That would be a lovely thing. All right. Let's unleash the goodness and the kindness and the love on the world and stand up for the people we love. Because if we love their food, we should equally love their peoples. That's what I think. All right, we're going to take a quick break, you guys. When we come back, we're going to talk locals to love, which is going to include Easter takeout kits. And we're going to talk about that term moolah, finally. Okay, we'll be right back. This is The Weekly Dish on My Talk 107.1. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Weekly Dish. Thanks for joining us today as we are kind of wrapping it up. I did want to... Someone sent me a message asking about about my experience at the Minnetonka Drive-In, which I had talked about in the very beginning of the hour. And they were kind of saying that they'd had some hit or miss things. They were worried about it. I'm going to caution you on two things. One, it's being cooked by teenagers. Our expectations are at a certain place with the Minnetonka Drive-In. I'm happy to, when I roll up, to see the teenagers rocking out and having a great time. If that means that they forget a patty on my burger, you know, my double burger, I'm not going to lose my mind over it. And, you know, for me, it was day three yesterday. They opened on Wednesday. You got
to
give that summer crew, you know, a little bit of a turn.
Settle in.
Yeah. So I just say when you're doing drive-ins and everything else, just keep your expectations in the correct space. Okay. We have to talk about charmoula because we haven't talked about it and we promised it.
So charmoula is typically more on the warmer spice side, you know, like smoked paprika. And sometimes there's some, I always did a fire roasted, you know, like roasted red pepper in it and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But our friend Sameh Wadi, in his cookbook, The New Mediterranean Table, it came out, can you believe this, like 5 years ago?
Yeah.
So crazy. I've been doing some personal chef work, and I was like flipping through, and I'm like, oh, I want to make this green charmoula, and I hadn't made it in a long time. And it just sort of blew my socks off again. Yeah. And it's just, it's perfect for spring right now. It'd be perfect for grilling. I've been putting it on everything. I even used it as a pizza sauce last night.
Wow.
And it uses fresh green pepper, lots of herbs, and then some of those spices. There's a little bit of smoked paprika in there, but, you know, cumin and coriander. So it's very herby and sort of vegetal. And it is just, it is what you need in your life this spring and summer.
Got it.
Is what I would say.
Got it.
So I think we're going to put a link to the recipe up on the books. And everybody go to samewadi.com and buy a book. It is a great one.
What's it called again?
The New Mediterranean Table.
The New Mediterranean Table. You know what's funny? That is one of the books that, like, when we were leaving our offices and stuff and packing up because we moved offices on the mag, I realized that it had been stolen from my office.
No!
Like, probably a while ago, because, I mean, I kept a copy there,
sure,
you know, for reference, and I didn't have it at home, and I was going to bring it home, and...
It's such a good cookbook, and if you're, you know, at all on Instagram, if you're not following him doing his social deliciousness...
Oh, you guys, everybody talks about it.
It is great.
It's
entertaining and quick and easy, stuff you could do at home.
Someone needs to snap him up for a show.
Yeah, they do.
I think he doesn't care, though. I think he doesn't want to do more than what he's doing. I don't know. I'm not a producer. All I'm saying is he would be a good get. If you did. If you know someone. I know you know someone. Anyway, let's talk about Easter, because I know that there is some Easter takeout that you guys are starting to think about. Oh, wait, first of all, I wanted to make sure to shout out Peking Garden, right, Hope?
Yes, correct. Okay.
It was Peking Garden in St. Paul. They've just reopened.
Yeah, they're at a new location, so just look them up. And
okay.
Looks like curbside pickup.
Curbside pickup only, okay, because we wanted to support them for
yes.
sure. Okay, so I have to tell you that there's a lot. So the meal takeout kits, what are you feeling like for Easter? Are you feeling like that's a thing you're going to do?
I mean, you're different. Because our family's so difficult to feed.
They are, because
vegetarian,
they have many
food allergies,
needs.
Gluten-free. Like, we all have, yeah. So yeah. I usually cook. Although last year I did get ham and one other thing from Kieran's Kitchen.
Yeah.
I
will
do
tell
that.
You that I like the meal, take the pickup kit, you know, whatever, the takeout kit for a holiday situation. And Easter's one of those ones that's always been a little bit difficult in terms of we don't really have a, I mean, like, it's good because there's no, like, hard and fast tradition for us. We don't have to do, I've done ham, I've done lamb, I've done, you know, just crab cakes and eggs and, you know, just different things. And so I don't have anything that I have to do. Gosh, I did salmon scrambled eggs one year. You guys, that was the best.
Sounds good. Some cream cheese.
Yeah, but like, so I think the idea of a kit is kind of interesting to me because it's got a lot of, so I know a lot of people are still thinking about it.
I know a lot of people that have been doing this for all holidays, some chefs that have been doing it for holidays. And I think it's just because it takes the pressure off of them too, especially this last year. It's like, you know.
Right.
And they get to support another business.
And I think, like, for this, I think Easter is an easy one to do. And then I think when we're looking at Mother's Day, which is like the biggest day, brunch day of the year.
Right.
I think that may be a good one to do for a takeout kit. Mm-hmm. If it's not able to go out yet, because I think it's also like, you're not going to cook for your mom, but you're going to let them cook for your mom.
Right.
In a better way. As long as you do it and don't make her do it.
So who are some ones that you like right now?
All right. So I like the idea of, always, I love everything from Brasa. I mean, like, I'll just say that I love everything that Brasa does. They have a great, they have mustard and cider glazed ham. They do have braised lamb shanks with a poblano onion gravy, smashed red potatoes, good stuff, upside down cake for two people, 60 for $420.
What kind of upside down cake?
Pineapple upside down cake.
Oh.
Is there another kind of upside down cake?
Yeah, you can do any kind of fruit upside down.
But does anybody...
Well, yes. yes, they do, Stephanie.
Okay, what would you do? Upside down cake? Pear?
I've done upside down pear. I've done upside down peach.
Okay. I'm not a
broaden your mind.
I guess I know. I don't think of it anything other. You're right. It's really ridiculous that we couldn't just have whatever kind of upside down cake we want.
Right?
Let's see that the FEMA's, of course, is doing something. They are doing a choice of entree, lobster benedict, prime rib, fried chicken, oh my God, and maple waffles, or a vegan dish. And then they have...
So it just sounded so funny added on.
I know. Well, it's kind of like it says a to-be-determined vegan dish,
right,
which is sort of like, Sorry. Then they have frittata, hash browns, maple glazed bacon, croissants, Danish mimosas, and juices.
That is quite a spread.
Yeah. It says it's ordered by March 31st, pick up by April 3rd, $55 per person for adults. And then it says $19.95 for ages 12 and younger, which seems weird in a kit. Wouldn't you just say we're all kids or like one adult and like, I don't know, like, is that a portion difference? That's a weird thing. Like if it's a family style
difference, but my 12-year-old ate like an adult. So
yeah, this is true. Of course, we always love the grand meal kits with Jamie Malone. We love hers. And her brunch kit includes butterscotch sticky buns, a bib salad, black truffle eggs en coco, which is cooked in cream.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They have that beautiful
truffle on there too.
Yeah, she's got ham and truffle, sourdough croutons, $25 per person. And then there's add-ons you can always do.
Well, and they always do have some lovely add-ons that are not food related that can make it a little more special too. Like the flowers or the art or the wine.
Well,
or,
add on a dozen oysters and just make that the meal.
There you go.
I mean, I would do that in a heartbeat. Grocer's Table, which is, you know, out by me and I love, is they have a ready to roast leg of lamb, a 6-pounder. Ready to roast a leg of lamb for you to go. It's got herbs. It's already been stuffed with herbs and tart cherries. And it comes with a pistachio mint pesto. And that's a big old one. That's like $165. They've got mini crepes filled with brie and wild mushrooms. They've got meat and cheese boards, like always. You know, they've got, it's all a la carte. So they're doing all this kind of stuff you can pick and mix and match. French toast bake, all those kind of things. So it's good. You got to order that one too by April 31st. And you got to pick up.
April, you mean May, March.
Did I say April? Yeah, March 31st. True. And then there's like, you know, the Lynn Hall is also a great one, I think, always to pick up from. And they have a ton of, they do these brunch kits all the time. You can do serving 4 for $80. You can, you know, you can sort of mix and match and go. I always love what they do.
Are they, is that out of both locations? Or is the pickup only at one?
I'm not sure. I think it's at Lindale. I think it's in Minneapolis the pickup is.
One restaurant we neglected to mention was Lat 14.
Yep.
And are they doing anything for Easter?
I have not seen, and I didn't pull them up, so I don't know.
I'll look it up while you're doing that.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that really, I mean, like, I don't know what their Easter, I don't know if that doesn't, I mean, they don't do brunch, do they? I don't think they do brunch.
Everything's been changing so much. True. So I don't even know what is offered right now.
True. And then there's, you know, the idea of like Easter brunch versus Easter dinner is sort of interesting to me because like I always have that. I used to have that thing where it's like when you would have to split families. And so like somebody would get Easter brunch and then someone else would. I would always kind of pick Easter dinner.
Yeah, you're a dinner gal.
I do. I would, because I'd rather like spend my morning chilling and just like doing my thing, Easter egg hunting and like eating, you know, like small things. Because if you're doing Easter brunch, if you're cooking brunch for people,
right,
you got to get up early.
This is true. And we've had this conversation before because I didn't know if it was a Southern thing or like up here. In Minnesota, a lot of holidays are at dinner. And I always grew up with all the holidays were at lunch.
Yeah, it is weird. I'm seriously, when we think about it, Thanksgiving for me is later. Everything's later. Yeah. I don't understand this lunch party. Anyway, that was a fun show, Malls. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's good to see you.
Okay, we'll see you guys next week with Elizabeth Reese. Ciao, ciao.